what is the law? What is the problem with this? I mean, because there's, as I understand it, I mean, and one gets from you a strong amount of antipathy toward the UN. What is it that's written in the treaty, and what's between the lines in the treaty that you and other people who are against this are fearing?
It's the biggest giveaway of American sovereignty and American resources since Jimmy Carter's Panama Canal Treaty. This treaty creates a global tax on American corporations, and it also turns over the riches of the oceans, oil, gas, and minerals to the UN. It's the most comprehensive treaty, it's 202 pages long, ever devised. In addition to the global tax, it sets up an international seabed authority to collect the revenue, and then it has an international tribunal on the law of the sea to decide disputes and govern ocean affairs. It's very comprehensive, and some people looking at the text say that it's also two treaties for the price of one, because it also affects the land areas of the world, saying that if there's any economic and industrial activity that contributes to the pollution of the oceans, the UN can come up with rules and regulations to regulate that too. So we might get the unratified global warming treaty when they pass this one.
Okay, so what is it? That's interesting. But what is it like? How would it change things from the way things are right now? And why does the Navy, why does the U.S. Navy support the law of the sea treaty?
The sad fact is our Navy has been in steep decline for many, many years. You know, the Navy used to be the law on the sea. But that was at a time under Reagan when we were up to 594 ships. And now we're down to only 276, scheduled to go down over the next 15 years to only 180. In fact, there's an interesting analysis out there by a fellow named Tony Korn, who says that the U.S. Navy is in such sharp decline that by the year 2020, the Chinese Navy might be bigger than ours. And this is one reason why you've got these international lawyers advising Navy and Coast Guard officials to back this treaty, thinking that somehow this is going to help us, this is going to protect us, this is going to safeguard navigational rights on the high seas.
Okay, so, well, I guess that's the question, is why... And you'll pardon me on this, Cliff, because I know this sounds assaultive, but give me the unspun answer when I ask, what is it about this that the Navy likes? What is it that the Navy, why does the Navy think this is a good treaty?
They think, as I say, that it protects navigational rights on the high seas.
Okay, so they think that we get something from this for as much as we give up on the sovereignty issue.
But, of course, those are rights that we already have and that we exercise. But apparently the Navy thinks we don't have enough ships, and this has been confirmed by the State Department. We don't have enough ships anymore to protect our economic and military interests around the world. So we somehow think that signing on to this treaty is going to help us.
Okay.
I just disagree. I'd rather build more ships than hire more lawyers to go before this tribunal on the law of the sea.
Okay. And how? What sovereignty are we losing? How are we losing sovereignty in the ocean? Why do people refer to this as the NAFTA of the ocean?
Well, under current conditions, if we want to go out into so-called international waters,
right,
and drill for oil and gas or try to mine precious minerals, we can do it. But under this treaty, we got to get permission from the UN and pay them a tax for the right to do it.
Okay, and so that essentially makes the UN the reigning authority for international waters and international mineral and or resources.
Exactly.
Okay, and that's never been part of the UN's charter before. They've been all about like keeping peace and having conversation as opposed to actually having official control.
When it comes to the oceans, yes, of course, their record in most areas is corruption and incompetence and violating human rights. But at least on paper, they say they're for international peace and security.
Okay. And you are generally, obviously, you're suspicious of the UN and their motives. What's the worst case scenario for you on this Law of the Sea Treaty?
Well, I'll give you a recent example that could go against us, and that involves Vladimir Putin's claim to the North Pole.
Right.
This is something that has gotten some politicians and the press here in Washington thinking we've got to sign up to this treaty in order to get our share of these Arctic riches, the oil, gas, and minerals. Well, as a matter of fact, Ian, and all of these reports, by the way, are freely available on our website at usasurvival.org. But Americans were the first to the North Pole in the 1900s. Our subs were under the pole in the 1950s. We've got historical and legitimate and valid claims to the pole and the riches surrounding it. But if we sign up for the Law of the Sea Treaty and we go before one of these panels, this one's called the Commission on the Outer Continental Shelf, and they rule against us and they throw out all our claims and give it all to the Russians, and we're talking about tens of billions of dollars worth of oil and gas, then if we go against their ruling, we're going to be found in violation of international law. That's why I think this is a big trap, and ultimately, just like everything else at the UN, it is going to go against us.